Welcome to Nevada News Magazine. On the program today, Phil Satre joins us. He's the former chairman of Harrah's, the former chairman of NV Energy, and the current chairman of IGT. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Pro Business Workers' Comp Company should be your partner. The Pro Group Customer Care Team brings you effective risk management, training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
What does the massive Tahoe Reno Industrial Center offer to Northern Nevada? Well, there's an incredible amount of oversized infrastructure in place, along with hundreds of sites to accommodate relocating or expanding businesses. The park includes IT ecosystems, call centers, data centers, e-commerce distribution, and there's defense system manufacturing, clean energy, there's renewables and recycling, and we're just getting started. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
The doctors at iCare Associates specialize in surgical and medical treatments to maximize your vision results. They can change the way you look at the world.
LipoFlow is an exciting new technology used in the treatment of chronic dry eye disease.
The procedure is quick, usually about 12 minutes, virtually painless, and performed in their surgical suite. Don't let dry eyes interfere with your life.
We perform a comprehensive evaluation to determine whether or not you will benefit from LipoFlow.
Your sight is critical. Call iCare Associates for an appointment.
This segment is sponsored by Forte LLP, a locally owned economic development and government relations firm. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are always delighted to welcome back to the program Phil Satre. He's currently the chairman of IGT, former head of Caesars, and former chairman of the power company. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thank you, Sam. Nice to be here.
Let's start out with the numbers out of Macau that just came out last week. Macau revenues rise 25%. These are phenomenal numbers. Another headline from Howard Stutz in the Review Journal, revenue juggernaut Las Vegas Sands, just Las Vegas Sands figures, top Nevada and Atlantic City combined.
That's right.
What do you think?
Well, I mean, there's a significant population in China that supports a very small casino market in terms of the number of participants in that market. So you have tremendous dynamics to make that a market that has really obviously strong revenues. So it works for our gaming environment because some of the companies that do business there also do business, principally Sands and Wynn, and some exposure by MGM. And so that's keeping them healthy, healthier than most of the companies in the United States that compete in the gaming industry.
And we're seeing more and more properties come online. We're seeing the highway going to be completed, I think, within the next year or so, that will go from Hong Kong to Macau. So instead of an hour-long ferry ride, it'll be a 20-minute drive. They're building more and more high-speed rail into Macau. These numbers can only continue to go through the roof.
Yeah, it's going to be very strong for, I think, a significant period of time.
So I got a phone call the other day from somebody who said, this is all well and good, but what happens if the Chinese government decides that they want to take this back? They want to boot out and nationalize this industry. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think in any foreign country you have sovereign risk. I don't think that that would happen there. I think that is something that is a remote possibility, but not likely.
And I think mainly because if they did something like that, it would say to the rest of the world, don't do business with China.
That's right. I mean, if you nationalize businesses in some countries, South American countries, for example, some Eastern European countries have nationalized businesses, it's very difficult to bring investors back in after you do that.
We've seen phenomenal results coming out of Singapore for Las Vegas Sands and for Genting. And now we're looking at other places in the East going towards gaming, principally Japan. These are also huge markets potentially for Nevada gaming companies.
They are. That's correct.
And at what point, boy, one word answers from Mr. Satya. I don't think so. So, it was only a few years ago in the middle of the recession that both Las Vegas Sands and Wynn were both saying, we're really Chinese companies now with some interests on the Las Vegas Strip. How important is it for these three major companies that get to operate in Macau to keep opening other product in the United States? Because it seems like chump change by comparison.
Well, it certainly doesn't measure up to what they have in Las Vegas. When you look at the numbers that you talked about, revenue increases and profit increases in the high double digits, I mean 22%, 25%, 30%. In Nevada, they're doing a 2% revenue increase. So those businesses are significantly stronger, but they do fit into the overall publicly traded company. So those results are buffeting their results in Nevada and helping them continue to keep people employed, investing in Nevada. And they're also, both companies are looking at other opportunities in the United States, principally on the East Coast.
It was interesting. Howard Stutz was on this program a couple of months ago, and he was talking about how Detroit was going bankrupt for $18 billion, and then he pointed out that the debt of Caesars is $19 billion.
That's right.
What's the end game? How does that play out? Because they have no exposure to
Macau. Caesars,
yeah.
You're talking about? I haven't been there in 9 years, so it's not something that I have a real close...
You have no dog in the fight, but I mean, I'm just curious for your...
Yeah, opinion. I mean, I'm hopeful that something works out well for them. Until there's a robust recovery, I think, in gaming gross revenue in the United States, which is where most of their assets are, they're just going to have to continue to try to pay down as much debt as they can annually and refinance that debt when it matures. And right now, I think that's got to be their strategy. They're still adding on to their businesses in Nevada. They're still competing for new licenses elsewhere in the United States. So they're not just remaining, I think, dormant watching what's going on. They're active. But they have a significant amount of debt coming out of going private in 2008.
You were privy to a lot of surveys and studies when you headed up Harrah's prior to it being Caesars over the years, going back to late 1970s, correct?
I joined the company in 1980.
1980, okay, yeah. So close. And did you ever imagine in all those studies that the gaming industry, particularly in Las Vegas, would suddenly be where gaming was only 35% of the revenue and everything else, the entertainment, the hotel rooms, the restaurants, the shows, the shopping, would be 65% of the revenue?
That's one of the most significant changes that's happened during the period that I was in the gaming industry. So when we first, at Harrah's in particular, when we first went to Atlantic City, about 80 to 90% of our revenues were gaming revenues, and of those, most of it was slot machines at one point in time. So the slot machine business was a very profitable business for Harrah's. It still is for Harrah's. But it's one part of the business that where the consumer has slowed down on their participation domestically. So it is a business that's changed, and as that's changed, particularly for the younger customer, they don't seem as attracted to slot machines, and they seem much more attracted to the non-gaming parts of the business, whether it's restaurants, entertainment venues, bars, and the like.
All right, let's take a break. More with Phil Satry. He's here for the whole show when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
call Marilyn Miner, Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
This segment is sponsored by Forte LLP, a locally owned economic development and government relations firm. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Phil Satre, currently the chairman of IGT, long history in the gaming business. The Link Project, which is a $500 million project. And by the way, you know, people keep saying that the good old days are not coming back in terms of the building boom. But if you look around and you see the Las Vegas Convention Authority putting up $2.5 billion for their current project, you see Genting talking about $2 to $7 billion. And you talk about in non-gaming, the Link Project being $500 million. We're starting to see some real money being spent on the Strip.
Oh, yeah. The Strip is pretty active right now in terms of construction, and I think it'll remain that way for a period of time.
I think one of the things that's exciting is to see how Las Vegas is creating the new Las Vegas as we look at it. The Link Project is not about gaming. It's about all the other entertainment activities. MGM building an arena, but in front of that, they're also putting in, I believe it's around $200 million for a similar Link-type project. So the business is evolving. And then Hakkasan, the nightclub, $100 million for a nightclub.
Sam, I can't explain it except that there's a new customer in that market. There's a customer that is younger than the traditional baby boomer who supported this industry through the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. And that customer is more attracted to those types of venues than they are to the gambling floor.
And the Las Vegas has figured out how to charge $750 for a bottle of booze that costs about $15.
Yeah, I have a couple of children that are adults now that have actually participated in that.
And do you shake your head and go, wow?
I think we all saw it coming at one point in time.
In my younger days, I was a nightclub disc jockey. Now nightclub disc jockeys are making $15 million a year. It's pretty stunning.
You want to change professions?
You know, I think I'm a little long in the tooth for that these days. But David Schwartz, gaming fellow down at UNLV, was talking about how we need to keep table games because they're going to be the thing that keeps casinos going, is the live action that goes on with those table games. Because as you pointed out, kids are not going to want to sit there and hit buttons on a slot machine.
Yeah, I think he's correct. I mean, David has done a lot of studying of this, and I think that the social interaction that occurs in a table game environment versus what occurs in a slot machine environment, I think, is where you see the younger customer beginning to make a decision. I'll play those games on the casino floor that are active social games, primarily table games, and they're less attracted, at least at this point in time, to slot machines. I don't know that we think that that's going to be forever. Certainly, we're doing a lot of product research and a lot of effort being given at IGT to cracking that nut with that younger customer.
Baccarat. That has become a major factor in Las Vegas. And it used to be the whales would come in And for publicly traded companies, a quarter could be made or lost with one whale. What do you think about BACRA and the fact that the state now relies on BACRA numbers for the budget?
Well, I think, again, it's a game that has a lot of attraction. There's still a lot of Asian customers that are coming over and playing BACRA in Las Vegas. But we did have that experience when I was early in my tenure as the president and CEO of Eras. We brought in several customers from Hong Kong who played Baccarat, and in one quarter it made the quarter, and in another quarter it cost us dearly.
This talk now of Ivanpah Airport coming back online, and maybe it's 20 years in the future, 30 years in the future, but that was initially thought to be a dead deal because with the improvements at McCarran International that we would have enough slots right to take care of that. What does that say about the potential growth for the Las Vegas Valley if indeed we were to see an Ivanpah coming online, light rail to get it to Las Vegas, all the cargo going to Ivanpah, and just passengers and international passengers in particular coming
to Las Vegas? Well, it would be tremendous for Las Vegas. I'm not sure right now that it really is something that is a burning issue. I think Las Vegas has plenty of growth opportunities with McCarran right now, and we've expanded a terminal already in the last couple of years, so it seems to me that there's a lot of room for growth on the current footprint.
And, you know, there's a certain limitation, is there not, to how much buildable space there is on the Las Vegas Strip. I mean, there are some areas in the North Strip that are still prime locations, but Virginia Valentine was on the program a few months ago, and she was saying that there are limitations to how much growth you could really have.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I personally would not look at that as anything that has a near-term sort of impact on what happens in the state or Las Vegas in terms of growth. I think we still have plenty of real estate down there. I think we have plenty of opportunities for growth when the market's ready to grow, and I think part of that's going to be, is there continued robust growth in gaming gross revenue? Is there continued robust growth in non-gaming revenue? And we're not quite at that point yet where we see really robust growth when you look at the numbers. We had a good year, but we're still well below 2007 gaming gross revenue numbers in Las Vegas.
And how big of an indicator is that? Because it was, you know, you had a huge locals market as well as, you know, a huge strip market, and then the recession came, you lost all those construction jobs. Do we have to see a growth in building before, because everybody's refurbished all their properties. I mean, everything is brand new in Las Vegas. I'm not sure if people really understand that. Everybody's reinvested in their properties. MGM, 5,000 rooms, all upgraded.
Right. But
do we need to see a big building spurt to be able to really see those numbers go up to those levels that were there before, and are they sustainable?
I don't think we need to see a big building spurt to see those numbers grow. I think they can grow based upon the supply that's in the market right now, Sam. I think part of it is I do think there's a customer out there right now who is an older customer, my age, in their 60s perhaps, who was more affected by the recession than a lot of other people. And I think that they're still waiting for their incomes to come back, their discretionary spending, whether it's because they're doing that more because of health care, or they're spending that money for other things that they need. Obviously, the automobile business has had a couple of robust years. So I think that customer needs to demonstrate that they're going to come back at the same levels, because that's who I think is missing from Las Vegas right now in the numbers that they were in previously, for example, in 2007.
And also, the numbers of people coming are constantly growing, but they're not spending as
much. They're spending less, particularly on the casino floor.
All right, let's take a break. More with Phil Satre when we come back.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
When kids are hungry, they're not thinking about math. They're thinking about food. That's why school breakfast and lunch programs like this one, funded by Barrick Gold, are so important. We have several students that they don't eat at home. They don't have food. These are the only meals that they'll eat today. But at least while they're here at school, they don't have to worry about being hungry. They can concentrate on learning. That makes a big difference. Huge difference.
The Pizza Baron is celebrating over 40 years in business. And as a way to thank you, Reno and Sparks, The Pizza Baron is offering 30 wings and a large pizza for just $21.95.
We deliver for 40 years.
Piping hot all over town.
It's late. Time to go home.
No, we found new evidence in Kevin Miller's disability case. His rehab specialist is willing to testify. The hearing's in the morning.
Good luck. You need anything?
No, all I need is to get this case before the judge.
Disability claims. Does anybody really care about you? At David Allen & Associates, we do. We've been helping disabled people for over 30 years. David Allen & Associates. Talk to the right people. I'm David Allen.
Fueled by Monster Energy and featuring Ricky Carmichael's Road to Supercross. Brought to you by Maverick, adventure's first stop. Kid seats are just $8 for the return of all the up-close excitement you have to experience to believe. All the racing panels. All the edge-of-your-seat action that only a Raidercross brings. All the value because kid seats are just $8. And Soiler Raidercross. Up close and personal. February 21st and 22nd, Reno Sparks Livestock Event Center.
The Pizza Baron is celebrating over 40 years in business. And as a way to thank you, Reno and Sparks, the Pizza Baron is offering 30 wings and a large pizza for just $21.95.
We've delivered for 40 years.
Piping hot all over town.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Phil Satre. Up until not too long ago, you were chairman of NV Energy. And what do you think the benefits are to Warren Buffett's company taking over NV Energy for the Nevada consumer?
Well, the cost of their debt is much lower than ours as a freestanding, publicly traded company. So there's a lower cost of debt. There's obviously, I think, the reputational impact that has for our state and for that company, because Warren Buffett is a legendary investor, runs his businesses very well. He's a long-term investor. So they've made a commitment to this state with their subsidiary, MidAmerican Energy, and I think it's very positive for the state.
Do you think it's an interesting conundrum that we're in, where with fracking and natural gas prices being so low, and yet the states are moving towards more and more renewable energy. How do you see that as the benefit for the consumer? It just seems to be a bizarre time.
Well, I think we have historically low natural gas prices, of course, and we're becoming much less dependent on foreign oil for our energy sources. So I think both fracking and the low cost of natural gas is very good for consumers throughout the United States. But I don't think we can abandon the development of renewable energy. Number one, it's very good for Nevada. We have still a lot of untapped renewable energy sources, particularly solar, some geothermal, but both of those are very good sources of renewable energy in the state of Nevada. Right now, there's probably a cost differential that makes it more difficult for us to accelerate renewables because of the cost of natural gas right now. But I do think that we will reach a point where we'll be happy that we invested in renewables in this state.
Because
I think the other prices will begin eventually to move back up, the cost, that is, of natural gas.
The intertie between northern and southern Nevada that stretches from White Pine County
just opened up 2 weeks ago.
Right. That's going to make a big difference in the power company's ability to shift power, especially renewable energy, during the summer and winter, putting more energy in northern Nevada in the wintertime and more energy in the south.
That's correct. I mean, our peak period up here very often is in the months right now, the winter months, where we have much more need to heat our homes and heat our businesses. So the ability to relocate and dispatch that renewable energy because of the intertie is a very significant improvement. It was one of the most exciting projects that when I was on the board of NV Energy that we considered, and we are just delighted that it opened up. I wish I'd still been chairman when it opened up, but that would have delayed
the closing.
You
didn't get invited? I wanted to ask you about a person who just retired this last weekend, Pat Mulroy. What an amazing woman and what an amazing job she has done for Southern Nevada.
Phenomenal. I mean, she's somebody that myself and so many other people that have been in this state for a long period of time have great admiration for. And she did a phenomenal job with the Southern Nevada Water Authority.
And, you know, it's interesting. There's an interview between her and Henry Breen, the writer for the Las Vegas Review Journal, who covers water issues. And I encourage everybody to go to the website and read it, because you can really hear her voice, because Pat is never fussy. If she disagrees with you, to tell you exactly how she disagrees with you.
I've experienced that.
But, I mean, the way that she has managed the water issues and really laying out the fact that despite the federal regulations, everybody on the Colorado River now has to deal with the reality that if, you know, Los Angeles is going to be in a drought, then they have to conserve water and they have to keep water in Lake Mead and Lake Powell, and all the other users along the river have to do the same thing. Everybody's working together, which is different than it was when she took over.
I think that's true. And the other thing I think Pat has done, she's been more innovative than anybody in the United States, as far as I can see, on how to be resourceful in the use of water resources. And that sort of sounds redundant, but what I'm trying to say is, I think we've done a better job in Southern Nevada than any other user of the Colorado River Authority in terms of being conserving our water resource while still making it an important part of the Southern Nevada community. Excuse me.
And that's where we have to leave it. Always a pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
You bet,
Thank
Sam.
Thank you for being
Thanks
here.
Thanks for being
here. All right, man. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Only from Home Solutions and Ace. Extended by popular demand. The absolute best furniture buy in Northern Nevada. Buy any select Best Rocker recliner and get a second one free with almost 30 colors to choose from and three leathers starting at just $5.99. Plus, check out our closeout sale on dining sets like this traditional extension table with six chairs, just $9.99. And with Oak Creek Custom, you choose your style, size, wood, your hardware, and your finish, making it truly yours from just $5.99. Only at Home Solutions and Ace, the hardware store with an entire furniture center.
We don't just practice law here in Reno.
This is our home.
Careless conduct is a danger to everyone.
When we help people recover from their accidents and injuries,
it sends a message. Slow down around schools. Don't tailgate. Don't text and drive. And don't drink and drive.
This helps to make our community safer.
If you've been injured, give us a call. I'm Bob Jensen.
And I'm Graham Galloway.
For your free consultation, call Galloway and Jensen today. The insurance companies have lawyers. You should too.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. For the next broadcast, we'll hear from the Chamber of Commerce with Len Stevens. We'll see you then.